You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Why We Watch, the show for fans, bar fans, about fans. I am Mags, and this is another episode in my series called Why We Still Watch, where I visit, or revisit, should I say, people who have been on the show before, kind of get their take on the latest happenings in the wrestling world and how wrestling's changed since they last appeared on the show. Today's guest is not only one of the earliest guests that I had on the show, it was actually on episode number 6 when I actually had a tag team partner for this show, but he's also one of the most genuine, friendly, nicest people I've ever met on wrestling Twitter. This guy's an absolute rock, and I love him. I think he's an amazing person. Today, I have got the one and only Shake and Bake himself, Mr. Mark Baker. Mark, how are you?
I am thrilled to be back, and I will give you that 40 pounds for those times later.
Honestly, I think you're an amazing person. You're such a big supporter. You're so positive, and you're one of the best people I've ever met on wrestling Twitter. So yeah, it's an honor to have you back on the show, sir.
It is my absolute pleasure to be back. I freaking love you and Paul, and you two are just like everything good about wrestling and podcasting and Twitter as a whole, especially you. You're my dude. I would not have been involved with as much of wrestling Twitter if it wasn't for you. Thank you. Thank you, Senpai. Hi.
Oh, those words absolutely did mean the world to me. Thank you so much. So, like I said, you were on at episode 6. Wow, I said in my in the episode 52, which was the happy birthday episode. I can't believe this podcast has gone on so long. I genuinely did not think we'd make it past 10 episodes, and here we are now into basically the second season of it. But that was 11 months ago, 11 months, and wow, how big of monumental changes have there been in this wrestling world? Why We Watch is proud to be working with Powerslam.tv. You can use our code MAGS to get yourself a 30-day free trial and watch up to 4,000 hours of quality independent wrestling content. Just make sure you sign up with your laptop for the code to work, and then after that you can download the Android app or the App Store app and watch this amazing content from Powerslam.tv.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Let's go over a few of the topics. You were kind of an old school wrestling fan. Your wrestling fandom goes way, way back than the majority of people who've had on this show, back to the times of old school, like NWA, and that's made a comeback. How have you taken to the revamped NWA?
It's kind of been hit or miss for me, honestly. I enjoy the presentation, mm-hmm. think it's a really nice throwback to the WCW Saturday Night with the studio and the interviews at the podium and everything. But for me, some of the matches have just fallen a little flat. There's always been a good combination of the interviews and the personalities, but the ring had to hold up, and some do and some don't. I think Nick Aldis is doing his best darn Ric Flair impersonation that he possibly can to try and carry that organization. And that's not a knock on Nick, because you can tell that Nick studied Ric Flair because he's got a Ric Flair vibe to him. He sounds like he comes across with that Ric Flair arrogance, you know, talking about, hey, he's the great wrestler, but he ain't no Nick Aldis, baby. You know, it's got Ric Flair sprinklings all over. I think it'll grow. And it will definitely turn from being just like, oh, it's an alternative throwback to what's going on. I think it has potential to be really great. It just needs to find its legs and get that balance of really good in-ring as well as really big personalities.
Yeah, you make great points. Going on to the in-ring work, do you feel that that's because your wrestling tastes have changed, or you've become more knowledgeable and about how wrestling is, or do you think it's just the fact that it's not standing up to today's other wrestling products?
I think they're trying to throw back in every way. You know, the matches are actual, you know, like, yeah, they're matches. They're good matches, but they're not. The issue is that in that hour format, you don't really have a chance to let them breathe and let them really, they're like, really like, okay, chop, 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 done. It's really segment to segment to segment to segment. But with that, like, granted, sometimes they're like that, but on the Saturday nights and the WCW stuff, sometimes that main event was 30 minutes long. You know, they had a chance to breathe. And I think if they had a chance to really give those matches some bread to, you know, really get in there. I mean, they have great stories. The Tim Storm story is great. I mean, that's fantastic stuff. I mean, you can feel the emotion and everything. And, you know, it's just, it's not clicking all the time, but when it does click, it's great. It's potential. I think if they gave it another hour and really let the matches breathe a little bit, I think I would probably have a different outlook on it, because it seems like they are really rushed in ring wise.
Yeah, I get that point. And it's still a very, very new product. I mean, I know the NWA has been around for so, so long, but this kind of like iteration of it is a very new product, and they're still kind of learning almost. One thing that I was really impressed with is kind of like the subtle nuances of the company. Like you said, they are trying to throw back. And one that kind of went over a lot of people's heads is that actually the start time that the show is put up. It's obviously 6:05, and the amount of people I saw on Twitter who were, why is it starting at such a weird time? And it's like, that's the game. It started at 6:05 back in the day, and they just throw in, and it's another kind of little facet of throwing back to that old school wrestling style.
Yep, I loved it when they did it. I'm like, that's fantastic.
I've not caught a lot of Power, because there's just so much wrestling nowadays. There's just too much wrestling. I mean, obviously the big story of the time since you've been on the show is how much AEW has come into becoming a massive, massive force. Coming from absolutely nowhere to being the second biggest promotion in the Western Hemisphere, how have you seen this growth of AEW, and how have you kind of like enjoyed what they've been doing?
What I've been shocked with is the absolute fervor that has surrounded this brand. I mean, it came in just blazing hot. And I mean, let's be honest, Vince put NXT on USA to attempt to counteract it, and other than a couple of times, it's like it's a numbers driven company. It's a numbers driven world. Whether you like it or not, some people be like, oh, numbers don't matter. Tell that to the companies who are paying for you to be on their television. If your ratings suck, you get canceled and you're out of a job. And for them to already be good until 2023, 4 months in, is madness. I mean, that got announced today. I mean, I think they've been very smart, smarter than what people give them credit for as far as their signings. There's a whole bunch of new talent, but at the same time, if you're good, it doesn't matter how new you are, you're good. Case in point, Chris Statlander. She is phenomenal. Darby Allin, he's a star. He reminds me of just like this Jeff Hardy, but with a much darker side. There's characters there that you can be attracted to, but at the same time, it's still there's moments where it's like very disjointed. But as a whole, I've been impressed with the fact that, you know what, we know we needed to put the belt on Jericho. Jericho's a name. We know what he can do. We know we needed to sign John Moxley. Moxley's a name. We know what he can do. Their big names have become very big names. And I have a feeling that there's something going on with New Japan. There has to be. Because they put their title back on Moxley. I mean, if there wasn't, why would you have that goodwill between, hey, we're going to put a belt on this guy? I think that's going to be coming soon. I think they've been a lot smarter with their money than what people give them credit for. They haven't really like, oh, we're going to go after this person or that person, this person or that person. They're building a lot of people who have kind of a following, but I think the sky's the limit for them if they can come up with newer stories and more cohesion in their women's division, because their tag team division is straight fire. I'll argue that with anyone. Yeah, they kind of bend the rules. It's not very traditional. But whenever they start hitting on all those cylinders and everything and that crowd gets into it, you kind of forget about that because like, oh, yeah, this is great. Wrestling purists may not like it, but the modern fan, that's what they want. I call it microwave. You know, it kind of starts up, but once the heat gets going and it's really, really, really going, you're into it, and it's done. And you're like, ah, that's great. And then you can have that again. It's, like I said, sometimes I like a story. I will say Cody is killing it with his storytelling in AEW. He is, to me, as far as like old school meets new school, right now Cody is the master at that because he's telling a really good long story with the MJF thing, which I think is fantastic. The way he's really stretching the story but keeping you interested. Whenever he's on the mic right now, he's red hot. I mean, he can promo his face off right now, and he's got that freedom. There's still a lot they need to work on, but I think they have potential for some real longevity. TNT believes in them. They got big money backing them. They're allowed to make some mistakes that haven't been fatal. Yeah, there's some really bad stuff on there, but I know it catches flack all the time, but this whole Nightmare Collective, whatever it is, that can just, But the Dark Order thing started off, but it's slowly morphing into something kind of like, okay, what's going on behind the scenes with these guys? What's really going on with this group? But like I said, it's not all going to hit, but it's not all going to miss, and they've been really strong numbers rating wise. I mean, and yes, I know it's not all about ratings, but to a TV company, it is all about ratings.
So. Yeah, and like you said, the deal with TNT extending for another 3 years proves that it is about ratings. The fact is, you're right, it is a numbers driven business. Now, as fans, that shouldn't really be what drives us to watch a program. If you're watching a program just because the numbers of that program are higher than its rival, then you can, and not being a wrestling fan, you're just like being a sheep almost. But to go along with a lot of your points, I agree with you. I think they get a lot of flack for the things that go wrong, and there's just they don't get enough respect for the things that they're doing right, especially within the pro WWE kind of community. One thing that has happened with AEW is we've seen a split in like the wrestling Twitter world, kind of it's almost like this massive battle lines being drawn. You can have a like AEW or you can like NXT, and you can't like both. I'm dead centre. I'm in no man's land. I watch NXT, I watch AEW. I think they're both absolutely brilliant programmes. I enjoy the hell out of both of them. Neither of them are perfect. There are issues on both shows. But yeah, it's wrestling Twitter has become incredibly, incredibly toxic. How have you seen wrestling Twitter ever since that AEW have come into fruition?
It's two tribes. You either are the Isle of Misfit Toys, AEW, Mud Show Wrestling, as Jim Cornette would say. Yeah, I said Jim Cornette. Mm-hmm. Or you've got the old guard, you know, NXT, WWE, NXT, you know. NXT does great things. Their women's division absolutely crushes AEW. And I'll say that to anybody. Yes, I know AEW is a new division. They'll get better. But right now, it's like comparing a Ferrari to a Ford. There's just a different level of excellence. Now, if you want to talk about apples and oranges, the tag team division, AEW's tag team division, completely annihilates NXT. NXT has some great tag teams, but let's be completely honest. Other than the Undisputed Era, who is the next great tag team in NXT that you can think of off the top of your head?
I mean, the ones that you would have suggested would be like Street Profits, who've been called up, and then maybe DIY, but they break up and then they get back together and then they break up again. I think AEW's tag division has been phenomenal. And the fact that it's been tag matches that have main evented a lot of the shows, just that kind of proves that they've got this emphasis on tag wrestling. And I'm old school. Tag wrestling is my bread and butter. I absolutely love tag wrestling. And that's one of the big things that AEW have done to pique my interest. Like I said, there is issues. I think they've got some production issues. I think they have issues with the sound sometimes. I think some of the camera work could be better. But we've got to remember, this is a new company. This company's not even been around 6 months. I mean, it's been technically around for a year, but they've not been putting out content for more than 6 months. And they're going to make mistakes. Obviously they are, but they're in under such a big microscope that everything that they do wrong is magnified, and it becomes like a massive, massive story. But going on to back to wrestling Twitter, how do you feel that this AEW split has affected wrestling Twitter? Because I'm seeing a lot more hatred, a lot more stanning almost. We all know about stan accounts and how you can't say anything bad about a certain person or a certain company because they set the dogs on you almost. And we're kind of seeing a lot of that now, where really interesting people to talk with are being kind of banned or suspended on Twitter because they're upsetting an apple cart, and then they're having like these big groups of people going and mass reporting and getting suspended. So how do you feel that side of wrestling Twitter, as how do you feel about it coming up to the forefront and there just being this kind of toxic energy?
It's kind of sad, honestly, because there used to be times where you'd have people who watched completely different promotions get on there, and we'd have great conversations, and it'd be fun. Want to get on there. Now when you open it, you're like, hey, what's going to happen today? I mean, like, on Wednesday nights, I find it difficult to even want to get on Twitter, because I'm watching the shows, and it used to be, you know, you used to want to get on there to, you know, tweet along and have fun with stuff like that. Now you're like, I don't even want to put this hashtag up, because if I do, next, you know, I'm going to have like the AEW army or the NXT militia or something like that come after me because I'm not supporting their brand. I'm like you. I just want good wrestling from both brands. I want everyone to have a choice on what they want to watch and to enjoy it. But at the same time, who cares what someone else is watching? How does that affect your life to the point where you want to walk around like you are the sheriff of an app you don't even own, trying to get people kicked off of it because they don't agree with you? You know what? Some people like bread and butter, and some people like toast and jam. It doesn't really matter. If someone is enjoying something, how much energy are you wasting trying to be negative to them when you could be enjoying something else? I mean, it's supposed to be fun, and it's not fun sometimes. Now, I've been blessed with no fear of hitting the block or the mute button, and it doesn't break my heart for a second. I have gone through and cold and blocked and muted, and it doesn't hurt my feelings whatsoever, because sometimes I feel like people are on there to get followers and clout. It's an app. It's an app. You're not getting paid for it. You're not getting anything whatsoever from it other than some really cool relationships if you choose to go that direction, like I think it was intended for. Now it's just this side versus this side. And what they don't understand is sometimes you're driving people away from both sides, which works out well, because here lately I've been going down different little independent wormholes trying to finding these other little different independent people, like, and it's fun. You know, there's people out there I've never even heard of that all of a sudden I'm following on Twitter. And you know what? They're fun. They have fun matches. They may be in front of 300 people, but you know what? They're having fun. And you know what? I want to have fun too. So I'm going to have some fun.
Yeah. And the thing that I think upset might be a too strong word, but I'm kind of like not able to find maybe the right word for it. But the thing that upsets me more is, We used to be involved in so many threads where we would have amazing conversations with sometimes 20, 30 people all chipping in and giving their opinions and viewpoints. And now you can't have that kind of conversation because people are getting worried to share their opinions. I mean, we used to just have totally different viewpoints whatsoever, and we'd have these conversations and no one would argue, no one would fall out. We would just read each other's views and put our own across. But now you can't kind of do that because you're going to get the dog set on you. You're going to get attacked by these groups who believe that their favorite promotion is perfect and you can't say a bad word about them. And it's sad. It's kind of taking away the social part of social media for me.
Right. I mean, like, I've learned and I've gone through, and I've, like, for me, there's one person on each side that I think both sides would look at their accounts and see, this is how you're supposed to do it. This is how Twitter should be. You know, over on the AEW side, I know she watches all the wrestling, but Amy at Phoenix, she is a huge AEW supporter, but she's never disrespectful towards NXT or anything like that. And on the other hand, you got Josh Robinson, who's a huge WWE guy, just massive, but he never has a bad word about AEW. They both enjoy wrestling, but they both have something that they prefer over the other. But at the same time, they're not bashing anybody about it. Those are the accounts that I choose to follow. Those are the accounts that I choose to watch because they love wrestling. They like, Josh loves his NXT. He loves WWE. Amy loves AEW. But at the same time, they'll come together and they'll talk and they'll have a civil conversation. I guarantee if they talked in real life, they could sit down and talk about wrestling and not ever bring up anything other than the other side. there's good things on Twitter, but here lately, it's like you said, it's just like, I don't want to say anything because I'm not going to get involved. I don't throw any hashtags on anything. I just try to watch it and enjoy it. And the best part about it is that I have managed to get rid of a lot of the nonsense. Mm-hmm. And by getting rid of it, they don't know I exist, and that's fine by me. I'm glad to stick around in my little neck of the woods watching wrestling. And, you know, God forbid you bring up New Japan, because then you're just a snobby elitist.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm in kind of all three of those camps. I enjoy AEW. I enjoy NXT, but I love New Japan. So, yeah, it's almost like you're walking on eggshells a lot of the time with wrestling Twitter. But enough of that negativity. You mentioned when you were talking about AEW how NXT has been the counter-programming for AEW, and they've gone from being a network-exclusive show to being on a major TV station, and they've gone from 1 hour to 2 hours. How do you feel that they've kind of like took the challenge of AEW on?
I think that the biggest issue I have with NXT is that unless they go on tour, I'm going to see the same faces every single week, the same crowds. Like, I recognize all the crowds, and sure, they're going to be hyped because that's them. That's their little thing that they can do. But I feel like you're doing a disservice to fans all around the country by not taking it. I mean, yeah, they go on tour, but if you have, like, and they do the takeovers, and those takeover crowds, oh, those are fantastic crowds. But I feel like you're missing out on some of the crowds that you could get somewhere else if you gave it a chance to not even weekly, it doesn't even have to be weekly, but maybe like once a month or something, go someplace different. You know, give me different views from different people, because you got the guy who wears the Chelsea jersey all the time. You got all the people who do the Keith Lee stuff all the time. It's the same people every week. And I feel like sometimes, I hate to say it, but sometimes I feel like they go live in front of a studio, live and recorded in front of a studio audience. It's NXT. Ta-da! Because sometimes a crowd can give a performer energy. And granted, it's slick, it looks good, and they do a great job. But sometimes I'm like, oh, I feel like the biggest issue I have sometimes with crowds in general, not just NXT or AEW, sometimes the crowds try to hijack the shows. And that irritates the heck out of me. Because, sorry, person in that role, I'm not paying to see you. I'm paying to watch these performers who've, you know, built this story up that I want to see a conclusion to. And I feel like that's where an advantage is, because AEW does move around. But as far as what NXT is doing in their 2 hours, they're doing great. I as a whole, they're really, really doing what they can. But the issue is that there's so much talent. It's like almost like, okay, you've got this big warehouse, and some of these cars are muscle cars, some of them are sprint cars, but you can only drive so many of them in a 2 hour period. And like the talent, I think like that's why Dakota Kai had to go heel so they could do something with her. I feel like that's why Finn Balor had to become heel, because I mean, we've all wanted that anyways, but him going back to NXT and becoming this kind of tweener heel guy, I mean, he's there and he's interesting, but sometimes you're kind of like, okay, yeah, I mean, it's almost like too much talent in one spot. And then they added the cruiserweights on there, and that's just taken away from more people. I feel like it's not a development anymore. It's a third brand, but it's a third brand that can get cold anytime Vince feels like it. So the attachment is there for some of them. Like, I hope the Undisputed Era never gets called up, but I know they're going to. I mean, Johnny Gargano, I mean, Tommaso Ciampa, they're fantastic, but they did good on the main roster, but could they hold their own in a storyline on the main roster? Tommaso could, because he's fantastic on the mic. Johnny's very emotional, very fiery, very passionate, but I feel like sometimes he struggles to hold his own on the mic. But as a whole, he's a great underdog. He's scrappy. He's everything you want in your underdog. I do like NXT. I really, really do. Some of their choices as far as pushing talent, I'm not so thrilled about. But as a whole, they're doing what they can to compete with AEW. And it's still, I mean, it's still a WWE product, whether people want to admit it or not. Mm-hmm. It's still going to have, especially now that it's on TV, Vince is going to have the final say on what he wants to see. Even though he's given Hunter full reign, if he doesn't like something, he's going to, like, Keith Lee come out of nowhere. Over the last month, Keith Lee went from a guy who I never saw on TV to all of a sudden being pushed to the stratosphere. And I feel like that's because Vince has something to do with it.
Yeah. I totally get what you're getting at there. I think it's done well for me in retaining the kind of the essence of NXT. But it has got that kind of Vince McMahon kind of touch with it being a TV program. Like you said, he's going to want it to be up to his standard to put out on TV. And you can kind of see where, yeah, he has given Triple H free reign, but he does want to know what's going on, and he would have the final say. I think with the amount of talent that they've got there, in not only in NXT but in the company as a whole, I could see more Raw and SmackDown guys coming across to NXT for maybe short storylines, or even guys like Finn Balor were coming over and being like a permanent member of the roster. I can see WWE using the big name talents to kind of catch up with AEW in terms of ratings, because if you're having a Roman Reigns or you're having an AJ Styles on NXT, you're going to attract more of the kind of the regular WWE fans over the NXT fans. But all in all, to say how it was hot-shotted into that position because of counter-programming with AEW, I think that Wednesday has become quickly one of the best days for wrestling. And I enjoy both the shows. We actually don't get them on Wednesdays here. We get them on Thursdays. And, yeah, it's two quality shows. And it's sometimes like we need to take a step back and realise what we've actually got here. We've got the best wrestling in the world. And instead of, like, fighting and bickering about it, because we know wrestling is a very cyclical business. What's hot now, it will be uncool again in a few years. So let's just sit back and enjoy what we've got now, because it's not always going to be here. It's going to fade out of popularity, and we're not going to have this kind of like booming wrestling anymore. So, yeah, I just am enjoying wrestling right now. And then we get on to New Japan. Obviously, when we last spoke, it was just after Wrestle Kingdom. We've had the whole New Japan making their strides into the West, and obviously the Elite left, and then strides into the West kind of like petered out. That could have been a kind of the death knell for New Japan in terms of the West, but I think they kind of pulled back and kind of took stock of what went on. And then obviously they've come back recently with a massive vengeance, and we're getting the likes of New Japan US coming up very soon. How have you been enjoying New Japan over the last year or so?
New Japan has been my safe haven from nonsense sometimes. I mean, to me, there's nothing more beautiful than hearing Minoru Suzuki and Tomohiro Ishii cussing at each other in Japanese to hit me harder. It just, it feels like there's real conflict. It feels like somebody has to break. And there's pride in it. I mean, they will not give you a bad match. And they will not allow it. They will do everything they can in their power to make sure you're entertained. It's so good. And they're not afraid to push some Westerners into different positions now. I mean, the tag league this year was really interesting because, I mean, yeah, GOD's been dominating the whole thing. But here comes David Finley and Juice Robinson out of nowhere. I mean, they were a solid team before, but they found their stride as a team in that. And they ended up parlaying it to a win at Wrestle Kingdom, the biggest card of the year. That's New Japan saying, hey, we're not scared to push these guys because they've earned it. I mean, they obviously, there's just so much good stuff in that company. I mean, Hiromu, Takahashi, and Will Ospreay could wrestle for 5 hours, and I would watch every minute, every second. I don't care. Those two have a unbelievable chemistry and a charisma about them that they were made. Like, if you want to talk about two people who I could watch fight forever, it's those two because they just play off of each other so well. And there's also kind of a trust there because they're friends to begin with, I think. Because, I mean, Hiromu's first match back is against Will. Mm-hmm. So that's Hiromu saying, hey, I trust you to help me get through this. Because you knew he had, you know, blocks or something in his head. And he's like, I'm not sure, you know. And Will Ospreay gets a lot of crap. A lot of crap. And some of it's deserved, some of it's not. But I guarantee you one thing. If you see Will Ospreay's name on a card and you have a chance to go see it, you're getting tickets because you know Will's going to deliver. Mm-hmm. I mean, when people like him, some people don't, but Will has delivered the last year. And that's because of New Japan, because he's been in those situations. Like, we're going to put you against Okada. We're going to put you against these people. And he's excelled. New Japan will make you a better wrestler. It will make you a better all-around performer because you have to impress. If you're in Westerner, you have to impress people who can't even understand you with just what you do in the ring. And that is a picky crowd. They to get a reaction out of them, you're doing something right. And to see how they've fallen in love with Juice, they love that dude. They love Juice. And Juice looks like one of the Village People, not a lock against the Village People, but they love Juice. I'm like, it works for you, buddy. That flamboyant Juice Robinson. Yeah, it's great. They love Moxley because Moxley's like this unhinged, crazy guy. You know, kind of reminds him of probably some of the older people of Bruiser Brody who used to be in there running around. But, I mean, but then you've got Okada. Okada. Everyone else. I will argue that with anyone. I'm sorry. I love Chris Jericho. He's fantastic. He ain't no Okada. Now, in his prime, it would have been a good run. But whenever you see Kazuchika Okada, you're going to get excellence. Every time against anybody, you are going to get the Rainmaker. Every time that music hits, get ready. I mean, everyone talks about Naito and everything. If it wasn't for Ibushi, both fantastic. Don't get me wrong. But Okada is the variable in both those situations. So it's just, to me, it's like, if I want to watch art, I watch New Japan. Sometimes it's a very violent art, but it's art. It's pure wrestling.
Yeah. Again, it's my bread and butter. I absolutely love New Japan. The one issue I've had with it over the last year or so, and you kind of touched on it with the Finn Juice there. It was the tag divisions have kind of, they've almost been put on the back burner. When I first started getting to New Japan, the tags were were one of the big reasons why I got into that style of wrestling in the first place. And now, obviously, we've had Evil and Sonata going their separate ways, kind of. We've had David Boy Smith Jr. leave the company altogether, which meant one of the big teams in Killer Elite Squad went away. And they kind of struggled to get any competition for G.O.D. And then you're looking the juniors, same kind of thing. Whilst you've got amazingly talented wrestlers, there's a lot of thrown together tag teams rather than actual tag teams. But you look at the singles divisions, and it's five star upon five star match, event after event after event. It's just the best quality wrestling in the world today for me. And like I said, Okada is it's almost unfair how good he is. I think he's the Ric Flair of this generation. He's the Chris Jericho of this generation, where he's just so much better than everybody else that nobody looks legitimate in being a champion above him, because there shouldn't be anyone above him. He's literally the best wrestler in the world today. And I think that's another kind of sticking point for me, is that he's so, so good that you don't see anyone like being a legitimate champion if it's not Okada. Obviously, they've gone with Naito, and all props to Naito. He's the most popular wrestler in Japan by a long, long stretch. And the feuds with Okada are always going to be amazing. So the fact is, it's amazing wrestling for the next 10 years for me, for New Japan. But one thing I would like to get your opinion on, obviously with Wrestle Kingdom, we saw Jericho there and we saw Moxley there. And whilst there've not been any official talk of a relationship between the two, the fact that both guys who have AEW contracts walked out as winners and walked out with titles from that company, do you believe that there's going to be a relationship there? I mean, I know that Chris Jericho's title is an AEW title, but the fact is he had that title on a New Japan show, and on the biggest New Japan show of the year. Do you think that there's going to be a working relationship between the two companies?
Yep.
Simple as that.
Yep. You don't acknowledge another organization's world heavyweight champion. You don't have close-ups of that organization's title. You don't spend 5 minutes talking about how he is the world champion of All Elite Wrestling if you're not going to do something. You don't have a goodwill measure where Moxley could have made Archer by taking that loss. But no, you put the belt on Moxley. You put that title on him. As like, hey, see? And both... No, I mean, there's so many opportunities if they work together that I am literally salivating at some of the matches. I mean, it's money just waiting to be printed. I mean, could you imagine someone like Jungle Boy in the Best of the Super Juniors?
Mm-hmm. Darby Allin.
I mean, Darby Allin versus Hiromu. Give me that match right now. Take my money. I mean, I've sat and thought about some of the amazing matches. You want a good big man match? Lance Archer, Luchasaurus. Big, agile, athletic. That would be a fantastic, fun match. There's so many amazing matches that are right there outside of the Elite who have already wrestled some of those New Japan guys. I mean, it's there. I mean, and just for kicks, even though it's ridiculous, could you imagine Yano trying to figure out Orange Cassidy?
Imagine them as a tag team.
Just so many opportunities for just memorable moments. And I think it's going to happen. It's going to, I mean, New Japan wants to make inroads into the U.S. You have all those young lions who are around in the U.S., if you were connected with AEW, could you imagine the experience they could have by going into an excursion on AEW? mean, it's just right there. I mean, it's there. I mean, send Jungle Boy over to the New Japan Dojo for a while. Mm-hmm. He'd come back a completely different. On top of the athleticism, he'd learn about the psychology. He'd learn about the stronger style. He would be insane. Darby's just Darby. I mean, Suzuki would love that dude. He'd be like, oh, yeah, I like this kid. He's crazy. He's like me. I'm in for it. I mean, it's if you think about it, it's fantastic for business, but it would just be great entertainment, too, and I hope they do it. I really do because, I mean, that'd be great. And even now, when, you know, I'm another outside, you know, they're a mess. I think Marty sticking around ROH opens a door to maybe to bring in some of that because there's talent in that organization. Mm-hmm. There's some really good talent. I mean, some people who may not have gotten the big shots. I mean, like, to me, I think Jonathan Gresham is a criminally underrated and underappreciated wrestler, and he could go on to an AEW show and shine. I mean, he's fantastic. There's some young guys who I think could really, I mean, they've been around there and they could benefit from them. I mean, like TK Orion, the Kingdom's Gone. That dude's a star. He's got that star quality about him. He's got charisma. He's decent in the ring. He could use a little bit more, but now he's doing this whole character thing. That would help. I mean, then you've got Marty and all that stuff. But there's so many opportunities where AEW could set up a precedent, like, you know, we're willing to work with anybody to make our brand better. And by making our brand better, we make your brand better.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one thing that has been exciting me the most about a potential relationship between AEW and New Japan is we could get an invasion angle that eclipses what we could have had with WCW and the WWE at the time. Obviously, we know now that that was kind of the best that they could come up with because of the contracts that they had. But can you imagine a New Japan invades AEW angle or an AEW invades New Japan angle? You've got the likes of Ishii, Shingo, Suzuki coming over and running roughshod over Dynamite. I think the potential there is for some amazing storylines, and I just hope that they can kind of dot those I's and cross those T's and get that done.
Absolutely. I mean, there's just so many interesting scenarios. I mean, think about it. You could have Jay White talking trash back and forth with MJF. That would be interesting just because you're like, this little, I'm better than you know the hell you say. And then the next thing you know, they're going back and forth. Naito's reactions to half the roster. I mean,
yeah. I mean, the first thing that come to mind when I think of Naito and AEW is Naito versus Pac.
Oh, Naito would drive Pac crazy.
Exactly.
And once he got his hands on him, it would be just fantastic. I mean, for me, that was so true. One that I would just give, like I said, Darby and Hiromu. I mean, that would be who would die first. Because, they would do things that would be like, oh my, what are you doing? It'd just be so fun to watch. And then you could give Will those big matches that he's kind of starting to earn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, give me Okada and Ospreay in a tag match against Kenny and Hangman. You know, that would be a fun, athletic, hard-hitting match because you know there's familiarity with all four of them. But on that scale, in an American audience, they'd be like, oh, my God, this Okada guy is amazing.
Yeah, I agree. And I think putting Will and Okada together, you could easily face them against any of the AEW tag teams. I mean, you could put them obviously up against the Bucks. That'd be an amazing match. But SCU, the Hybrid 2. I mean, I know they've kind of like floundered a little bit in terms of wins, but the in-ring stuff has been absolutely stellar.
Could you imagine the hybrid two versus Sho and Yo?
Exactly. There's unlimited potential.
And then just for my own personal status, I mean, then you could mix the AEW and the New Japan guys as tag teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, as crazy as it sounds for me, a team that I'm, now that we're thinking about it, now that we're just throwing out there, give me Luchasaurus and Lance Archer as a tag team. Would you want to go up against those two big suckers?
Who could take them out?
The only two I could think of to take them out would be my other dream team of Ishii and Moxley, who you'd have to kill to stop.
Exactly. So whilst this this year has been amazing for in terms of in-ring, there's been a lot of controversy as well this year, whether that's because we, as fans, we kind of get more information about the backstage shenanigans of wrestling. But we've had issues with a lot of companies in the UK, especially shutting down. We've had issues with Ring of Honor and their kind of their issues with Joey Mercury and Kelly Klein. And then we've also obviously recently had the issues with Tessa Blanchard and the allegations that she may be racist or she may have been basically a political backstager. What do you think about these kind of these stories coming out? Do you think that maybe we are knowing too much as a fan base, or do you think it's good that we know that these stories come out because these people shouldn't be getting away with these kind of actions?
It's a very, very fine line between too much knowledge and just the right amount, because with the platforms of social media, you have people who they can dig deep, dig long and dig deep, and next thing you know, you've ruined someone's career. Their whole livelihood is gone because of you. Some of the times, yes, somebody needs to be known about something, and then there's some people who are willing to climb up a hill and die on it. I mean, case in point, I mean, David Starr. I mean, that guy absolutely will pick a hill to die on. And I respect him for it, but that's why he's in England, and that's why he's there. Mm-hmm. Because he burned so many bridges here. Was he right? Yeah. Did he go about it kind of in a almost hostile way with some arrogance behind it, I think, and not a lot of tact? Yeah. Did it cost him millions of dollars? But that's his choice, and people respect that. I respect it because that's what he decided to do. Sometimes, though, you know, I mean, like, could you imagine if Twitter would have been around back when Shawn Michaels was still doing his thing?
Or Hogan.
Hogan or any of those people. The people that we all admire and look up to, now they're like, ooh. Would they have been who they are now if this would have been back then? Probably not. I mean, we look at them as some of the greatest of all times, but now that their dirty laundries came out, it's not so cut and dry anymore. I mean, the time of kayfabe is dead. It's gone. I mean, there's no more. These are characters. I mean, case in point, last night, I mean, I came across a tweet by a WWE wrestler making fun of an AEW match. Well, I'm like, dude, you're watching the competition. That doesn't make a lot of sense in my head. I mean, I mean, if you're watching it to make fun of it, guess what? You're kind of paying some of the other guys' bills. You know, back in the day, that wouldn't have worked. But there's like the gates have been open for everyone to decide what's right and what's wrong, not based on what might actually be right or wrong, but their perception of it, which is a really dangerous precedent because not everyone has the same perceptions. I mean, with Tessa and everything, yeah. I mean, if she said that, it's terrible. But, you know, there's some people who brought up like, oh, And you can't have a point that goes counterproductive to what everyone else thinks is right, because then you're just dumb. You know, there was some good points about, wow, all of a sudden they're talking about this right before she's getting a shot at a world title that a guy holds. You know, that's a good point. You know, if it was this bad, why didn't you bring it up a long time ago and killed her push to begin with? All of a sudden, now that she's got the spotlight directly on her, y'all are coming out of nowhere. But on the other hand, she should be exposed for that if she did that. She should be held accountable for those words and those actions. There's not a question of accountability. It's sometimes a question of timing. But that's just, like I said, who knows? You know, it's so hard to know who's in the right and who's in the wrong now, because it's just opinion without a lot of facts, hardcore facts. Now, a lot of people are saying Tessa's like that. I've heard, you know, if she's so hot shot, why wasn't she signed after the Mae Young thing? You know, one and one wasn't equal in two in that situation. Now I'm like, okay, I get it now. She does come across as that sometimes. You can see that kind of arrogance about her, but she's darn good. I mean, what do you do?
Yeah. I think sometimes that it's the court of social media and the court of public opinion that there's this like cancel culture. And I think, like I said, there's a fine line that needs to be tread. Nobody is perfect, and I am not in any way condoning anything that any of these talents have done. On their own heads, be it. But none of us have ever been perfect all the way through our life. We've probably all said and done things that we kind of regret. And being a human is about growing, and it's about learning from these mistakes. And I don't think that being cancelled over something that happened 3 or 4 years or even sometimes longer ago, I don't think that should be... It shouldn't be a thing if you're willing to understand that what you did was wrong, or what you said was wrong, and that you have changed and become a better person for it. Along the lines of the Tessa incident, I think the issue with a lot of the people who came out and said stuff about her was the fact that she was almost preaching that women should support each other. And she hadn't kind of done that herself. And then it obviously goes out into the ether, and we as a community jump on it, and it kind of snowballs. And that's the worry for me. It's the fact that people are getting like piled on, almost dog piled on by us as fans, when it's differences between two wrestlers, and we're almost in a world where we have too much information about the backstage, and we're not enjoying it as fans anymore. It's kind of like it's a race to see who knows the more information about wrestling, rather than enjoying wrestling as a sport almost, or as an entertainment.
That's why, I mean, I'm glad that, I think it's because of my age that I don't jump on this, you know, these shots and these little things that pop up. Now, like you said, I am not condoning any action at all. You know, like, there should be accountability. Absolutely. Without a shadow of a doubt. You do something, you say something, you better be ready for consequences, because if you're going to pay for it. And that's what happened, and that's what should happen. I absolutely have no problem with someone saying, hey, you weren't exactly like this, or you shouldn't be talking like this. And, you know, I feel like sometimes people rely on other people's facts than their own. You know, like these so-called wrestling journalists and these dirt sheets that just come on there and spread mess right off the bat. I mean, like, it's frustrating because it's kind of ruining something that I love, because in my heart, I love pro wrestling. I love the stories. I love the action. I love everything about it. And part of me wishes it wasn't so transparent now, but I understand why it is, because of, you know, technology and research and stuff like that. But I feel like that's something that's kind of going away, because everyone who likes somebody can find somebody about something. I mean, it's just like, mm-hmm. you can dig up anything about anyone and completely just. And for me, sometimes I'm like, why is that your place to do that? I mean, I understand why, but part of me is like, you're ruining someone's life. And what's the premise behind all of this all of a sudden? Why are you feeling the need to come on a social media platform and basically take food off of someone's plate and just go after their life? If it's something like disgusting, racism is disgusting. You know, here lately, the big thing, you know, as much as I hate to even say it, is like, every time you turn around, someone's like, oh, this person hit on underage girls. That person hit on underage girls. This wrestler hit on underage girls. And I'm like, really? That's gross. And they should be held accountable for it. It's so hard, though, to separate it, because they could be the best wrestler in the world. And it's just hard because you're like, you've been exposed on this social media platform. Like Corey Graves, his Twitter meltdowns are probably, sometimes I'm like, no, Corey, we talked about this before, take the phone away from Corey. But they still give him the platform and he still has his meltdowns. Seth Rollins, take the phone away from Seth. But I feel like, it's almost a ploy now, because you want to see these people have meltdowns and you'll push them to get meltdowns. My favorite thing, though, Magsy, this cracks me up. I'm laughing thinking about, oh, you talk trash about this church. Oh, why did they block me? Why did they block you? Because you were being an idiot. The block both ways. Celebrities can block you. Then, like, oh, and someone's like, hey, I got blocked by this person. Congratulations. You irritated a person enough where they don't want any interaction with you. Are you proud of that?
I get what you're saying. I mean, to go against that, I have been actually blocked by two wrestlers and neither of them were my fault. I got blocked by CM Punk and I've never, ever uttered a single syllable about CM Punk, so I have absolutely no idea why I got blocked there. And then another one I got blocked by was Steve Austin. And that was because of Graham Bagshaw. I understand that. I think my issue is, like you said, it's the cancel culture. And when I think of that, people who, like you said, people who have food been took off the table. And the one what stands out for me is Lars Sullivan. That guy said some deplorable things. He absolutely did. I would never condone the things that he said, but the fact is, he said them 10 years ago. The guy is a different person now, but we as a community still wrecked that guy's career to the point where he came off social media and he was having very, very severe mental health issues, and he was coming back, and social media did it again. They kind of like ruined his career for a second time, and it worries me that we have that power to be able to do this to these people. And I don't think that should be in the hands of fans like us, because to us, digging out information and then putting it out, we can forget about it after that, because it's done. It's yesterday's news, but that affects a wrestler for decades. Yeah, exactly. Let's finish this on a positive. We're into a new year. We're into a new decade. I mean, this is actually going to be the the fourth decade of my wrestling fandom. What's some things that you're looking forward to in wrestling in 2020?
I am looking forward to the continued growth of AEW, the continued expansion of New Japan, and the different opportunities for wrestlers to make a living in different promotions outside of what used to only be the only place they needed to go. I mean, if you look at WrestleMania this week, this year, and all the events going on around there, my goodness. I mean, how many shows are going on? I mean, there's something for everyone right now. Everybody. I mean, there's this GCW thing that's slowly starting to make ground. People are talking about it. There's a buzz around that company. Is it my thing? Not really. But it's made me be, you know, take some notice in it. And honestly, I've found something I actually like in that. I love what Ricky Shane Page is doing right now as that outlaw bootleg champion. But in his eyes, he's justified. And when he's delivering his pro, he feels like, I am doing this for all of you. And he's actually, to me, he's currently more believable than some of the bigger names because he's selling it. It's there. And that's fantastic. I love that. And the venom that man gets when he shows up at their shows is amazing. I mean, just angry. But at the same time, they know it's part of the show. I'm looking forward to seeing where some of the free agents end up. That's going to be very, very interesting because maybe, well, for the first time in a long time, Vince isn't the only option. I mean, will some of them stick around? Absolutely. I think some of the long-termers go, but maybe someone like the Revival is like, you know what? We're just not cutting it here. This ain't working. You know, we're in these ridiculous scenarios and we want to wrestle. Give you some dream matches there. I mean, Matt Hardy hasn't been on TV, but he's staying relevant through his YouTube stuff. There's options. And that's the part that I like the most is that there are options. There are available avenues for you to still do what you love and maybe have different ways of doing it. But I think for me, the biggest thing that I'm looking forward to, he's been really, really quiet. I'm a massive fan of this guy, and I think wherever he goes is going to be a star. But I think behind the scenes, there is a huge, huge bidding war for Killer Cross.
Mm-hmm.
That dude is a star.
Yep, and he will be amazing no matter where he goes. I mean, he's always had an interest in going over to Japan, so maybe I think I listened to an interview with him a while ago where he was kind of pushing to go to Noah because that's kind of the style he likes and he wanted to learn under the guys over there. But yeah, if he went to AEW, WWE, even New Japan, he'd be a solid signing. Yeah, I think for me, the one standout of what I'm looking forward to in 2020 is just spreading my wrestling wings almost. Like we've said, there's so much wrestling now. There's so many different styles. There's so many new companies. There's so many streaming platforms. And there's only so many hours in the day. But yeah, just watching more diverse and new wrestling that I've never watched before. That's the good thing about this kind of boom of wrestling we're in, that you can see all these different kinds of styles. But the one other thing that it may not happen, but it's something that I'm excited for is now that AEW is established as a brand and they've obviously got a new TV deal and they're going to be having more programming, I'm waiting for that shock signing, that kind of one huge wrestler that makes the move from AEW to WWE or from WWE to AEW that can kind of like turn your head and go, wow, I didn't expect that.
Looking for that current moment.
Yeah, someone like that. If I mean, we're old school wrestling fans, but kind of like that Lex Luger moment where Lex turned up at Nitro, someone like, whoa, we didn't expect that. Someone maybe like an AJ Styles level, or even, I mean, this is going way out of the realms of possibility, but imagine John Cena turning up on Dynamite. That kind of spectacle where you go, boom, mind blown. This is real. This is happening. I think the potential for that is it's quickly coming around, and I think it's an exciting time to be a wrestling fan.
I mean, for me, that's something that I'm just kind of keeping an eye on because I'm like, oh, this person's contract expiring, oh, that person's contract expiring. It's the issue is that for me, the big names. Vince will lock him in, but who knows? I mean, you're right. Could you imagine? I mean, I never thought I'd see Bret Hart on AEW, but he was on there. Mm-hmm. That was like a holy crap moment. I mean, you got Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard. What happens if you know, Charlotte has a falling out? Charlotte comes over to be on AEW's women division. Charlotte versus some of that Joshi talent they have over there. Charlotte versus Chris Statlander. You want to talk about an athletic match? I mean, it's just I want that moment too, and that's something that would be cool. I mean, that's why if they keep it quiet and if Okada debuts on AEW, oh my goodness!
Yeah, exactly. It's the potential's there for some amazing wrestling in the upcoming years. Mark, I have absolutely loved reconnecting with you. You, like I said at the beginning of the show, you're one of my favourite people on wrestling Twitter. You're an absolute stand-up gentleman. And, yeah, I'm so glad that wrestling has brought us together as friends. You're more than welcome back on these shows anytime you want. Let the Why We Watch listeners know where they can get hold of you.
You can find me on Twitter at the Baker Show 73. You're a real one, Magsy. I love every second. We could talk all day and all night about this, and it never gets old. You're top marks in my book, sir. Top marks.
Thank you so much for that. I really, really do appreciate it. I'm forever saying that I'm just an idiot from the north of England, and this wrestling community we've got has brought me so many great friendships, and you are definitely at the top of that list. I totally appreciate your support. I appreciate your friendship. You're an absolute stand-up guy, and yeah, I love the bones off you. Anyway, you can find me on the Twitters at DJ Kirby. You can find this show at Why We Watch Pod, and absolute massive thank you to Mark here. Go and give him a follow, go and chat with him on the Twitters, because you won't find many people who you can have a decent chat about wrestling with on Twitter anymore, and Mark is definitely one of those kind of people. This guy will definitely talk about any kind of wrestling with you, so yeah, go and give him a follow. Thank you again, Mark, for coming on the show. I really do appreciate it, buddy.
Absolutely, my pleasure, my friend.
And thank you for guys for listening, and that is the end.
Listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network. envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.